You may be seated. We've been sharing with you over the last few weeks that we have declared today Mission Day here at Hardin Baptist Church as we get ready in December to do what Southern Baptist churches all across the nation will do, and that is honor our foreign missionaries through what we call receiving our Lottie Moon International Mission Offering. And we're excited this morning. Tonight, we're going to have a Southern Baptist missionary from Africa with us. But this morning, we have James Williams. And we met James, I believe, through the providence of God several years ago on one of our first mission trips to Brazil. He and Celia, we met their three sons. Three of their sons have actually got four. Brian is over here, I believe. Brian, would you stand and wave at us? Amen. So don't any of y'all go to sleep over there while his daddy's preaching, okay? Because that would be offensive. We're glad to have Brian. Brian's the oldest son. But their three younger sons, Edwin, Reuben, and Isaac, were actually on that mission trip with us. And so we met James. And then Jerry stayed in contact. And then about 2 or 3 years ago, Jerry asked me, he said, Ricky, would you consider going back to Brazil, but let's go with Brother James? And I said, well, Jerry, you know I'll follow you wherever you go. And so they've been talking for the past several years. And this past summer, as you know, in August, God worked it out for us to go to a new river there in Brazil on the Amazon River. And we met James and his lovely wife and spent about 12 days with them. And we just fell in love with them. We really believe them to be a couple in the Lord who are dedicated to the Lord's work. They live in Manaus and then actually catch a boat and go about 18 hours and then get in their boat and then go further into the interior and stay about 2 weeks taking the gospel to people who do not have the gospel. And we was privileged to share with them and go into two of the villages that they ministered to. And so we're just thrilled that all the way from Brazil, now he'll say from Louisiana, but he came all the way from the interior of Brazil to be with us this morning. And he's going to share a word from the Lord. He didn't feel led just to talk about the work that he does. He felt led that he's got a word from the Lord, and we trust him, and we've heard it once this morning. He's going to share with us from the Word of God. So, Brother James, you come now, and he's going to share the Word of God, and you listen and give him respect as you're listening to a man who literally goes into places that very few people go, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's just a high honor. So let's give him a Hardin Baptist welcome this morning. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Are you happy to be here? Is there any better place to be? Not this morning, huh? This is the best place to be on a Sunday morning, is in the house of God. We call it the house of God. It's not Baptist house. It's the house of God. Amen? God is here. This is His house. And when we come into His house, we come in for a purpose. And that purpose is to be with Him in a different way. He says, when two or three are gathered in my name, then I'm in the midst of them. So it's a different, you know, we're with God always. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So when we come together in the house of God, there is a multiplied presence, because we all have the Holy Spirit living in us, and it just comes together, and His presence is made manifest when we worship and praise Him, and He just enjoys our presence, and we enjoy Him, and we just have a great time together. Amen? I hope you don't think me strange. Sometimes I get a little tongue-tied because, you know, my English is kind of becoming like my second language, you know. And Portuguese, I can roll a lot smoother in Portuguese because I have over half of my life in Brazil, you know, over 30 years in Brazil. I just want to present my beautiful wife, Celia. She's a Brazilian, you know, full-blooded Brazilian, and the Lord blessed her, blessed me with her about 33 years ago in December, and we have five wonderful children, four boys and one girl, and they're all serving the Lord. One of them's over in Africa as a missionary. Isaac's over there. They're all married except for Reuben, the youngest. He's still suffering, you know. waiting on the Lord. I told him, I said, you need to get to a position that you tell the Lord, it doesn't matter what she looks, she can look like a cow. He said, Daddy, I don't want to marry a cow. I said, no, that's the attitude you have to have. You have to have that attitude that you trust the Lord no matter what she looks like, because God knows who's best for you, you know? But he said, no, I don't know about that. God knows my heart. You know, I want something good looking and all that. I said, you know, to find something good looking and full of wisdom sometimes is hard to find. But God can find that. You know, I'm not saying it's impossible, but they're getting a lot harder to find nowadays. Find a godly woman, young woman. But anyway, I have this word in my heart, and I believe it's the word for the last days. I've been preaching the same sermon in Brazil in all the churches this last trip. My wife's there to affirm that, so that I'm not lying. I preached the same sermon because I believe this is the word for the time we're in right now. God is compelling us to go in, to come in. Those who are in church today and are listening to God's words, but really have not come in to the kingdom, need to make that decision, and God is compelling. He's making all effort to bring us all in so we won't be left out in suffering and weeping and gnashing our teeth one day. If you have your Bibles, let's open our Bibles to chapter 20 of Revelation. Chapter 20, we're going to read three verses, verse 1 and 3, 1 through 3. Everybody found it? Amen? I'm not used to, the more quiet churches, nothing wrong with them. I'm just, you know... We used to, you know, the pastors in Brazil, if you don't say amen, they'll say amen, amen. And my brother-in-law, he's a pastor of the church that we attend in Manaus, and he needs the amens. And he's always saying, I had to get on him one time because I'm the president of the church there. I said, man, you're asking for too many amens, you know. And so he did cut down a little on the asking for amens. But it says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. Just picture this. An angel coming down from heaven. He's got a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He's coming down for a purpose. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That chain was time. It had a time thing on it. He timed it, you know, 1,000 years. He put it, turned it, the little timer there. 1,000 years. He bound him 1,000 years and cast him to a bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Let's pray. The Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for this moment that we have here in time to be here together, Father, and to hear from you, to interact with your word, Father, to do things, to believe or reject. But you are here, Father, and we want to do your will. I want to do your will in my life this moment, Father. I want to speak for you this moment. I want to be your voice, your mouthpiece. Father, I just thank you for giving me this great privilege to be here and to speak to these people what you have on your heart for them this morning. And Father, we just thank you for every heart that is receptive, Father, and we come against any opposition, Father. If there be any spirit of opposition of your word here, Father, we bind it in the name of Jesus and we declare it defeated for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we see a very interesting picture here of Satan being bound. We don't see Satan personally, but we see his work all over the earth. We see Him operating just like we see God operating. We see God through the evidence that we see. We see creation and we see destruction. We see killing. So we know that is evidence that Satan is real. We see deception all over the earth. He said that He was bound, and the one thing here, it doesn't say He was killing, He said He was deceiving. That was His number one thing, He was deceiving. Now, you would probably ask the question, I ask the question, why would God allow something, some being that He created to be counterproductive to what He's doing? Because He's a saving God, right? Amen? He's a saving God. That's, you know, He created this planet here, this kind of like His nest, and He is generating His children here. His children are being born here in this planet. It's like a chicken makes a nest, you know, and lays her eggs in there. She stays on those eggs until they hatch, and then she takes care of them chicks until they're full grown. That's a kind of a picture of what God is doing here in this planet. People think there's beings in other planets way out there. I don't believe that. I think this is God's nest right here. He chose right here to, in this whole universe He made, to generate, you know, to begat children for Himself here and to be heirs for His kingdom. And so, but why would God allow a counterproductive being to remain loose and just deceiving the nations when God is out to save the nations? It doesn't seem logical that God would allow that to happen, because here we see that during the thousand years, He is bound. He decides, okay, I don't need you there. No, I'm going to bind you for 1,000 years that you deceive not the nations until the 1,000 years are finished. Then He is released again for that same purpose, to go out and deceive the nations. Why would God do that? And I believe that deception is, in this case, a willful thing. Because God, in His wisdom and, you know, just and all that, would not allow a being to be here counterproductive to His purposes. He allows it for man to have his choice, and so there be a contrast. So man is in contrast. Truth and lies. You know, if everything is dark, you don't really know what light is. If everything is light, you really don't know what dark is. So you need the contrast. And so Satan is the contrast that God has allowed so that men can see the difference between light and darkness. And so when the two come closely, they're always in confrontation. And so Satan is there for a purpose, but truth is always light. Truth is always confronting darkness, confronting deception and lies. And we know that the Bible says the whole world lies in darkness, and that Satan is the god of this world. And he's out to deceive the nations. And he has done a good job of it. He's fulfilling his purpose. But remember, it's willful deception, or God would not be able to judge. It's willful deception. Because the truth is there, and people, for some reason or another, are capable of saying no to the truth and convincing themselves that everything is going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. You have Oprah, you know, has this new religion. Oh, it can't be just one way. You know, God is too big for there just to be one way to heaven. You know, God is just too big. All roads leads to God. That's the mentality. And if you are out there saying no, there's only one way, eventually you're going to get yourself persecuted or killed. Because that's what's going to happen. The whole world's going to come under this one mentality. And everybody who's out saying, no, only Jesus is the way, is going to be destroyed. Or going to be attacked. Because it's in the Bible. It's there. You know, they've done it before and they're going to do it again. So we see this will for deception. And I believe one of Satan's greatest feat is evident in our midst. In the church. Because we are in constant contact with the truth. But there are multitudes upon multitudes who are in contact with the truth, but some way or another have convinced themselves that everything is going to be all right. Up above ground, it's beautiful. Like Jesus said, you know, the whited tomb, everything's beautiful, painted white, everything. Underground, all kinds of things are going on. Living in sin. Really, no real relationship with Jesus. And in Luke chapter 13, verse 22 to 28, we're going to read some verses there, which really we see the heart of God. We see God speaking to us exactly about this. And this, we are in the home stretch now. We're in the home stretch. We know that things, you know, my parents, my dad, my mother are gone. My dad just died recently. And when they was getting ready to go to Brazil, in fact, the team from here, you know, and they were always saying, oh, Jesus is about to come back. Jesus is about to come back. And I grew up with that. But as we see the evidence so greatly multiplied, and, you know, Jesus says, you know, this generation shall not pass away. I believe it started in 1948. Personally, I believe that's when that generation started, you know. And he said it shall not pass away. So we have some years yet before all that generation passes away. But I think we're on the last stretch. We're on the home stretch. We really need a sprint. We need to really get out there and get with it because, you know, it's happening. It's snowballing. But here it says, and he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive. Let's all say that word. Strive. Strive. What does that word mean to you? Strive. Jesus was transmitting a thought here. Strive. He's not saying, you know, be cool. He's saying strive. When you talk about the word strive, it's talking about, you know, intentional effort. It's talking about taking it serious. Strive. Because he's talking about eternity here. You cannot overemphasize this word that Jesus is using. Strive to enter at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to lock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, ye all, ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now stop there. Jesus is painting a picture here of the reality of human nature. He said, many will want to come in. Many will be interested. Many will be convinced. But will not enter in. And so, I entitled this message, Interested but not sold out. Convinced but not converted. And that happens so much in our midst. And if I could grab a hold of you, if you're one of these many, if I could grab a hold of you and take you with me, hanging on to you, I would. But he said, strive. And that's to me too. You know, I need to continue to strive. I need to continue to strive. I can't relax. I can't relax my guard. I need to continue to strive. I need to continue to seek His presence daily. I need to continue to be converted. It's a process. I know y'all agree. It's a process. To be converted is a process that may take a lifetime to be transformed. Called sanctification. You know, it takes a lifetime. And I still got areas in my life that need to be cut off and be set, you know, I was about to speak in Portuguese. Be buried, you know, be dead. And he says that many will say, we can add all kinds of words here. I went to church. I was a deacon. I was on the presbytery. I was a musician. I gave my tithes all my life. I was in church all my life. We can just imagine what they're going to be saying in that day. And there's another passage which I didn't even look up because It takes it even to a more extreme. It says, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, we even cast out devils in thy name. We did wonderful works in thy name. You know, we did all this in thy name. He said, I'm going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And you ask, how can doing all these good things be iniquity? It is iniquity when it's you doing it. God has to be doing it. If it's you doing it, it's motivated by pride. It's motivated by attention, wanting to be seen. And that is a constant struggle in all of our lives. We have to crucify that desire to be seen, to be recognized, to be famous, to be heard, or whatever. I struggle with that. I have to kill that. I have to tell the Lord, you know, see Jane, Lord? He wants to be important, Lord. See him? Doesn't he look bad, Lord? I have to tell the Lord, you know? David said, search me, O Lord. And what David was saying was this, Lord, show it to me. Because God already knew. You know, he said, Lord, show it to me. I need to know myself. I need to know myself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So here, the Apostle Paul is telling us to prove our own selves, to examine our own selves. When the Lord's Supper is taken, you know, the Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves. And many, many people don't really take that seriously. To examine means make yourself pass a test. Make yourself pass the test. So I have put a little test here together so we can examine ourselves. So we can take a look at ourselves. Because actually the Word is the mirror whereby we take a look at ourselves. We can only see ourselves by looking in the Word. And if we don't match up to the Word, then it's going to expose us. And so, the first little question is, are you born again? Nicodemus had a luggage, spiritual luggage. He had it made, he thought. You know, all them Pharisees had it made. So they had convinced themselves that God was just, just waiting for them. You couldn't wait for them to get to heaven, you know? They thought they were that good. That God just couldn't wait, you know? And you just tell God, just wait off there. I'll make it there, you know? Just hold up, you know? They just couldn't wait until they got there. But he saw Jesus. He saw. And he started to get interested in what Jesus was saying. And the Holy Spirit was working there in his life. Because that's the only way it's going to happen, is through the Holy Spirit. And he's working there in his life, and he finally decided to go talk to Jesus. But he went at night, so no one would know. You know, no one else would know. Because the rest of his buddies didn't think much of Jesus. Because Jesus was there to expose him. And he started talking to Jesus. We know that he started flattering, so to speak, or trying to, you know, get in there, get in a good word or whatever. And Jesus cut him right down. Just cut him off right there. Hey, stop that. Except you be born again, ye shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Then he repeats it again. Except you be born of the water and the Spirit, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So born again experience is an absolute necessity for us to get into the kingdom. No walk-ins. You must be born in. And I have relatives who are in church, and I know by the fruits in their lives that they're convinced but not converted. I'm sure you know some. Maybe sitting next to one. You don't. I'm not here to judge anybody. But I'm here to create an atmosphere for you to ask questions. That's what I'm here for. That's what the Word is for us to ask questions. We must be born into the kingdom. Sometimes, in general, birth is not a comfortable moment. Not for the mother and not for the child. You know, today they cut women open and get them out like that. But normally, it's not a comfortable moment. Being born again is not a comfortable moment. I remember when I was being born again. I was very uncomfortable. I was going through pain. It wasn't a physical pain, but I was squeezing through the narrow gate. And it's narrow. And I was squeezing through, and I wasn't making it through. I needed a midwife. Someone was sitting beside me. He's a real old retired Assembly of God pastor. He's still alive, Lewis Sullivan. He was sitting beside me. It was a youth camp. He saw me in that situation. I was, needing to get passed through to get in this new world, and I couldn't live back in this. And he said, "You want to go forward?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. I do." He said, "I'll go with you." Okay. So I went forward. And I gave my life to the Lord. And I backslid, and I was baptized again. And long story short, I was baptized 3 times. So I'm more Baptist than most of you. Anyway, born again. You must have a birth date. You just can't just kind of, stroll in and just kind of learn how to be a Christian. That's not the way it happens. It's a moment that the Holy Spirit creates in your life where you make a decision. You make a determined, intelligent decision. This is what I have to do. I don't care what price I have to pay. I will humble myself. But I'm getting in. Because this is all I have. There's nothing left. I don't have anything in life. I just use things. I have one soul. And Jesus said, if you lose that, what else you got? Nothing. You lost. Total loss. So you must be born again. Number 2, are you in love with Jesus? Do you love His Word? Because He is His Word. Him and His Word are one. Do you love to be in His Word? Do you love to take time with Him daily in His presence, to seek His face, to know what He has for you that day? Because the days, are evil. And we can just be wasting our lives away. Oh, we can be going to church. We can be even doing activities in church. But the rest of the time, we just be wasting our lives away. Wasting our lives away. So daily we need to be in His presence, seeking His Word, feeding on His Word. Because man shall not live by bread alone. We need to feed on that Word. We need to be in His presence. We need to enjoy. We need to be in love with Him. Excited about Him. Are you a worshiper? Now the Bible says that God seeketh worshipers. Many types of people are seeking God, but God only seeks one type of person. He only seeks worshipers. Are you a worshiper? Praise is a lot easier than worship. Praise, you know, we sing, we clap our hands a lot in Brazil, you know, we jig a lot and all that kind of stuff. That's easy, you know, because the old flesh even cooperates, you know. But when it comes to worship, to really get in God's presence and really look Him in His face and just worship Him and just tell Him you love Him and just surrender to Him and just be one with Him and just surrender total all you have, you know, your life, your time, your money, everything to Him. That is what He is looking for. Worshipers. Are you a worshiper? Do you enjoy worshiping God? Or do you just kind of go through it? Number four, do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? I think it was the prophet Habakkuk. That was a hard word to say, huh? Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets. He said, you know, although the fig tree will not blossom, no flocks, no wheat, no oil, no. He said, that's talking about a famine, right? That's talking about a bad situation. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. It's not an outside thing. It's an inside thing. You know, it's inside joy. The joy of the Lord is an inside thing. That's not the circumstances on the outside. It's an inside thing where you rejoice in the Lord no matter what situation. I remember time my family and I were going, going back to Brazil, and we got to Miami, and they had canceled our reservation on the airline. It was a Bolivian airline at the time. And they canceled our reservation. I didn't have money to take my family to a hotel. You know, we were missionary. We had a pile of boxes. We had no suitcase, just boxes upon boxes there. And, you know, trying to get on board there. And here I am with my family, and the guy said, no, I mean, you didn't reconfirm. So it's canceled. And then next flight is like 2 days away or so. And I tried to fight my way, and I said, yeah, I did. And no, you didn't. And my wife started crying, you know, what are we going to do there? You know, I didn't have money. I didn't have a credit card to go, you know. We didn't have all that stuff back then. And I had something. I had something better. I sat on them boxes over there and just started singing. I just started singing, this is not my problem, Lord. Thank you. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's not my problem. It's your problem. Yeah? Here I am. Here. I don't know what to do. And I just praise you and just start singing. You know, people think I'm crazy. Yeah, that's all right. But I was singing the Lord. Finally, a lady called me to the side. And we were there standing in case there was a vacancy. And the guy said, there's no empty seats. The plane was coming from another city here in the States. And he says, there's no empty seats. It's plane filled. But then I just started just praising the Lord, just thanking Him for that situation. And pretty soon the lady, it was not the man who attended me, and the lady just called me to the side. And she says, there's 11 empty seats. And I only need like 4 or 5 of them, you know. 11 empty seats. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, the joy of the Lord. You have the joy of the Lord in your life. Number 5, are you producing fruit? Are you producing fruit? Are you winning souls for the Lord? And you say, well, I'm not a missionary. Hey, there's lost souls where you work. You're in contact every day where you go eat. You know, there's lost souls. There's lost souls everywhere. It's not just in Africa and Brazil. United States, there's a lot of lost souls. You know, are you producing fruit? Are you winning people for the Lord? Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words, you know, abide in you, you're going to produce fruit. You know, the vine, that all that picture, you know, the vine and all that, you're going to produce fruit. Psalms 1 says, you shall be like a tree, you know, that brings forth its fruit. So we need to be producing fruit. Number 6. How many more minutes do I have? I'm kind of messed up with my time. I'm good for what? 5 more minutes? Anyway, number 6. You have a humble attitude. Jesus said, come and learn with me. Take up my yoke upon you and learn with me. Do you have a humble attitude? Or if someone slapped you on the face, you give them a fist? We need to learn that humble attitude because that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, humility. Be a humble attitude. And 7, last but not least, is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord? Is He telling you what to do? Or do you make your own plans? Is He Lord of your life, Lord of your time, Lord of your money, Lord of all your resources? Is He Lord? He says, what's the use if you call me Lord, Lord, if you do not that which I command you? It's no use. And we see these many here, they're all saying, Lord, Lord, Lord. And they're all calling Him Lord. They're convinced but not converted. They're interested but not sold out. They were just keeping rules but not following Jesus. The rich young ruler was one of those. The best example that we have. He was keeping rules. He said, from a childhood I've kept all those rules. From a childhood I've done all that. I got all this luggage with me. I've been storing all this stuff up. Jesus said, okay, go sell it all. Give to the poor and come and follow me. He had two idols in his life, self-righteousness and his money. That was his God, Mammon. That's the God that's being judged right now at this moment. He's being judged, that God, Mammon. You know, God will bring down judgment on anything, any God that raises himself up. And Mammon is being judged right now all over the world. You know, and that young man was convinced that he had it made. But when he got in contact with the light, he was exposed. And then all of a sudden he saw that he didn't have what it took. He didn't want to let go. He didn't want to sell out. That God was more important to him than to follow Jesus. Jesus said, hey, let go of all that. Come and follow me. Don't follow rules, follow me. You know, you going to church, you're not following rules, you're supposed to be following Jesus. Jesus said, where I am, there will my servant be also. Where I am, there my servant be also. So, are you passing this test? That's up to you to decide. Are you passing the test? Would the musician please come forward and play? Where's the musician there? Is it possible to dim these lights a little? I'm just another human being just like you. Just like you. And I'm looking you in the face. And I'm saying this is the truth. There's no other truth. This is reality. And you have one soul. And your soul is eternal. And if you could see yourself going to hell, I know you would do something about it. But see, that's where willful deception comes in. willful deception comes in, and God is not going to, you know, He does that to some people, so show them in hell and they actually get saved. Like there's cases where people actually went to hell and come back and they get saved. He doesn't normally do that. He just confronts, you know, that man in hell. He said, send somebody back from the dead to preach. He said, no, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, you know, they're not going to respond. And so that's what we have here. We got have God's words, which is basically Moses and the prophets. It's just God's word. The prophets just spoke God's word. We have God's word. And what are we going to do about it? Are you convinced but not converted? Is God active in your life? Do you have experiences with God? If not, let's do something about it. You know, I'm here. It's like, say, all the way from Brazil to help you get into the kingdom if you're not in. I'm here. If I could pick you out, I'd go pick you out. And he said, why don't we go? I can't do that. I don't know who you are. So I must depend on the Holy Spirit to do that part. And as I make my final appeal here, let's stand. Let's close our eyes. If you are here and you're hearing this word, you're being confronted with the truth, and you will say, God, Your word is revealing. Your word is exposing me. And I have this feeling that I'm not converted yet. I don't have a born again experience. That I don't have this evidence in my life. I don't have, where there's something in life, there's activity. I don't have this activity in my life. But I'm desperate. I don't want to lose out. I'll do anything. I'll do anything it takes to get in. I'll strive. I'll be baptized 3 times if I have to, like Brother James. Do something crazy. But if you want to come in and you're not in yet, please don't let this day pass. This may be your last chance. This may be your last encounter with your moment. Because the word will continue to be preached, but this may be your moment. Only God knows, because He knows your moment, that you should be born again. And if you reject that moment, He may never give you another moment. I don't know. This may be your moment. God is here and He's waiting for you. Will you come forward? Will you declare, I'm not ashamed. I will humble myself like a child. And I'll do whatever it takes to get in, because I don't want to lose my soul. Will you come forward? Will anybody come forward? I ask you to come forward this moment. And I'll be here. I'll bow here. I'll get on my knees. And I'll pray with you and for you. And you'll make it in. But this is a moment of extreme importance for your life. Come, no matter who you are. I don't care if you've been a deacon. Come. Let's bow here around this. Let's make this our altar. Let's bow here before God. And let's call out to Him. Let's call out to Him. Come forward. Come now. Come out of your place. Please come forward and say, God, have mercy on me. Do like that publican. He said, God, have mercy on me. Is there anyone who want to come forward? Anyone? Come forward. Break loose. Break loose. Anyone? God. God, have mercy, Lord Jesus. Will the church kneel? Let's cry out to God. Let's cry out to God. God, help us, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come to you, God. We cry out for mercy, Lord. We know that there's lost souls in your house. God, we know there's people who are convinced but not converted. We know there are many, many, because you said there are many, Lord. Oh God, shake them up, Lord. Shake them up. You can still come forward as we pray here, because you need to speak with your actions. You can't just sit there. You need to speak with your action by coming forward and telling the Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. Father, we know that you're a merciful God, but you want us to do our part. You said if we confess you before men, you would confess us before the Father. God, we know that you're faithful. Father, in the name of Jesus, may your anointing, Father, salvation anointing, reach down into the lives, into the hearts, Father, and touch and awake, Father, and convince them to take action. Father, we love you and we appreciate you. I thank you for this opportunity to be here with your people. Oh God, help Pastor Ricky, Father. Help him, Father, in this so great a work, Father, bringing lives into the kingdom and getting them ready for you. Thank you, Father. Bless this church, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.